Welcome back to our exciting startup series where we are documenting the Voorhees pediatric dentistry startup journey with Dr. Dan Dinowitz. Dan, how are you? You're back. We didn't scare you off after episode one. That's good.
Not yet. I'm good. I'm here with my strong coffee drink in a tiny cup. I've become a coffee snob over the past couple of years, and got a little Easter egg here in the video window for the viewers at home just teasing out a future episode. So you'll have to just, you know, stay glued to the screen to find out what that means.
Yeah, this is something that we're excited about getting to kind of play off of in some of the future episodes, and it'll all make sense as we cross that bridge here coming up. So kudos to you, Dan, on being able to think of something cool like that so that we can look back on. So that's really neat. This episode, this is our second episode in the series. For those of you who maybe you're just catching this one, definitely go back and watch episode one, where we really go a little bit into Dan's story about, what led him down this path into dentistry and kind of his background as an associate, and ultimately what was kind of that, we call it the aha moment, where he wanted to go out on to practice ownership and start his own practice. And today's episode is going to be really about two parts. One is, I really want to dive into a little bit about kind of the mental hurdle that many dentists face, and people in general when starting a business, but specifically for dentists, what is that mental hurdle like before, going in and committing to practice ownership, and specifically a startup, certainly. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of you listening will really be able to relate to some of the things that we share there. But then the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to talk to Dan's consultant at Ideal Practices, Stacy Peters, and she's going to be able to kind of step us through, this timeline of the journey of from beginning to where we're at now to the opening of a practice, and kind of give us a high level view of what that roadmap looks like, because ultimately that's going to be setting the stage for every single episode that we're going to be moving forward with and diving deep into. So I'm excited about that. But again, if you haven't yet, definitely go subscribe to this podcast, the Dental Practice Launch Podcast. Be sure to like the videos here on YouTube as well. And of course, as we mentioned before, you can always send us any questions that you have for Dan as well. We would love to answer those, live in future episodes. But let's first dive in here. And Dan, we're going to talk a little bit about the mental hurdles of diving into practice ownership. A lot of people, we touched on it a little bit in episode one, but you can live a comfy life, as an associate, and have maybe less responsibilities and go in and do your job and that's it. Obviously for you, there came this point where you knew there was more. There was more that you wanted to do and really have your vision implemented, into your own practice. But before you hit that point, what were some of the doubts or the things that were holding you back from going out and doing this maybe, earlier in your career?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, because when we, when we look at our role models, in the dental industry, I look at, friends, colleagues, professors and mentors that have already done it. And we're comparing ourselves at the starting line to people who have been, doing the race for many years already. And, it's only natural to start to doubt yourself, like, that person, that dentist, they've got, they've got it. They figured it out. There's no way I can, copy what they're doing. What's that phrase when people have anyway, skip that. But there's just, there's a lot of doubt.
Is it like imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome. So there's definitely a lot of imposter syndrome that goes on. when you're comparing yourselves to other people, thinking, you know, I'm putting on this act, I'm, you know, going to go forward with it, but eventually they're all going to figure out, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And right now, I don't know, you know, all that I'm doing, but I have like a really great team behind me with my consultants at Ideal Practice and you know, Crimson Media helping me out so much. So anyway, that was one of my doubts. The other thing was just, is this going to be worth it? That was probably the scariest thing. I'm investing all this time, a insanely big bank loan, and am I going to, you know, be able to maintain the same lifestyle that I did before, enjoy family life? Family is at the center of, you know, importance for me. When I first spoke to my consultants at Ideal and I was creating my vision for the practice, number one was family time. And I think a lot of experienced dentists would hear that and they say, that's cute, but I mean it, and I'm going to make it a priority, and everything in the business is going to be focused all around that. So that's another thing that, you know, I had doubts on. Will I be able to live up to my own expectations as a father, husband, and family member? And then, you know, the other thing is just, will I have, you know, the time? Can I do this?
Yeah, and I know a lot of people listening to this can definitely resonate. The one, you know, the imposter syndrome, I know is one I've heard a couple of different times, and we all go through it. I go through it myself. You know, I've gone through it many times, and I think it's something that, you know, we look at others, like you said, and especially in this world of social media, and it seems like we only see the wins, right? Like we're only seeing the good things and the results of hard work and all these things, and maybe failures that have led to, you know, these ultimate successes. How did you battle with that? Was it more so on just the business minded side of it, Dan? Or because obviously, like as a clinician, you get very, I feel like, comfortable in your skill set and what you're doing. So was that more from like the business side, or was it business and from the clinician side of it?
So from the clinical side, I've been practicing for about 9 years now. So I've gotten very comfortable in my skin as a pediatric dentist. I've developed really great, meaningful relationships with lots of families where I practice right now as an associate. So, you know, that took about a good 3 or 4 years to really, you know, nail down, and I'm still not perfect. Far from. That's why they call it the practice of dentistry. But that I'm fine with. The business, I have no clue about, and I'm starting to learn that. Starting to learn some things, reading a lot of books, listening to a lot of podcasts, and you know, soon I'm going to be embarking on another module with my consultants where I'm going to be learning about the business of dentistry and how to handle those matters. So I'm really excited about that, because that's probably my number one fear. It's not, you know, it's not ground marketing. It's not knocking on a door and cold calling and, you know, meeting different businesses in town. I'm good with that. It's really just learning how to keep the, you know, the wall standing in the practice.
Here from Ideal Practices, and Stacy, you know, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're, you know, a big part of Dan's journey here moving forward now, and he's going to be working with you a lot. But before we really dive in specifically to Dan's story, you've worked with startups for years now, have helped, you know, hundreds of different startup offices. Is this something, you know, common that you hear as well? Because I think there's a lot of people out there listening thinking it's just them having these thoughts. But I'd be curious to see, what's your experience been like working with, you know, startups, and is this a common feeling that people have?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's more rare to have somebody come in with complete confidence and, you know, with no doubts whatsoever. You know, it's more rare to see somebody like that than, you know, with how Dan's feeling. I think there's different levels of fear here. I mean, you're already in debt. I mean, most dentists they're already in debt, you know, coming out of dental school. And now you're about to nearly double that debt, you know, opening a practice it's a risk. It's a huge risk. And, you know, not a lot of, you know, science-minded people are huge risk takers. So there's fear there, fear of the unknown, fear of, you know, what if I fail? What if, you know, I see these, all these success stories, and I know 1% might fail. What if I'm that 1%? There's a little bit of that. But I think that the biggest reason I see people either, you know, not ever do it or take a long time to make that decision is, like, where do I start? Almost like analysis paralysis. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know where to start, you know, which obviously is, you know, where we come in. But I think that, you know, that fear just freezes people sometimes.
Yeah. And Dan, does that sound relatable at all? Was that part of where you were at, and a little bit of that, where would I even start on this path?
Yeah. All too familiar. Absolutely. Those are definitely some of the words that I used probably when speaking with Stacy and Stephen Trotter from Ideal for the first time, specifically analysis paralysis, about 9 years of analysis paralysis, to be specific. There were so many things that I was trying to line up perfectly and, you know, at the right time and the right place. And there's no such thing as the right time and the right place. You know, you have to make that
exactly,
you know, right time. So, yeah.
Exactly. And I think you're spot on. People think that, you know, they have to wait for the perfect time. There will never be a perfect time. If you wait for the perfect time, it's never going to happen. I mean, like a Dan, you know, building an office, building a house, big building, like, you know, there's a lot going on. That's scary for some people, you know, timing, you know, timing, I was going to say timing is everything, but really timing isn't everything. You know, it's just you have to, you know, instead of looking back with regrets, you take action now, you know, a year from now, instead of looking back thinking, I wish I had done this, you know, or I wish I had done this sooner. You know, you'll be looking, Dan will be looking back saying, I'm so glad I did it.
Yeah. And Dan, you know, that's, you know, so a couple of things that you and I can relate on. It's just, you know, we both have, you know, young, you know, kids, and there's always that side of it's like, oh, you know, how can I do this with, you know, the young kids? And then you say, well, I'll wait till, you know, the kids get older. But then when the kids get older, something will pop up. And, you know, it's always like something is, you know, always in the way of our dreams, unless we just take that. And I don't mean that in a bad way, as like, you know, kids being in the way of our dreams or anything, but I'm saying there, we will make our own excuse at any time possible to say, this isn't the right time to, you know, to do this now. And so I think that one of the things you said there specifically, Stacy, is, you know, looking back, you know, in a year and seeing like, you know, what could I have accomplished or what could I have done? And there's a quote, and I was trying to look it up, but I can't find it. But it was, I think, Tony Robbins. And he basically talked about how people underestimate, you know, what they can do in 10 years and overestimate like what they can do in 1 year. And basically what it means is like, as time expands, you'd be amazed at how much you can accomplish when you don't just look at it from, oh, I didn't get everything I needed to do today. Or I didn't get, you know, that, you know, startup, you know, practice, I didn't take that next step, you know, today. But what about, you know, tomorrow, if you do take that step, and then a year from now, think of all the little steps that led up to that. And so I think that's where we're at now, right? It's like, you've gotten past that point where at least you did it, you took the first step and made it happen. Now, you know, you're taking the next step into this big picture. So let's talk a little bit about that for a second. What is that step? So Dan signs, you know, his lease. He gets, you know, starts working with Ideal Practices. Stacy, what's kind of like, once someone comes to you all and really signs, you know, the initial, I guess, lease too on a practice space, what's usually kind of the next step in the journey, in that trail to practice, you know, ownership?
Yeah. So actually, you know, we're part of signing the lease too. So, you know, Dan or, you know, any client comes to us, you know, first we kind of like talk about your vision, talk about the dream. Why are you doing this? How did you get here? You know, why did you choose to do a startup? You know, what is your vision for your practice? And we go through various exercises to like really get that true vision from a client. And then we have, you know, some members of our team that helps, you know, secure funding. We call it, you know, us putting our client on a silver platter for the banks. We prepare them for the, you know, Jesse and Kyle prepare our clients for to be presented to banks, creating the business plan, creating the, you know, what they're making them, making banks fight for their business as opposed to them begging for money. You know, banks will fight to give them money. And then Mike helps find the demographics. So Dan has already been through the demographic study in his area, found his location. And yes, Dan just signed his lease. So signing the lease is, is the cue to my team starting. So he actually, even there's a little bit of step in between. I think, you know, now you're working to find a contractor.
Yeah. I just hired my contractor. Yeah. So we're working on all that.
Awesome. We have an amazing floor plan designer. He's actually, his floor plans have won design awards, ADA design awards, a few of them. So he's an amazing floor plan designer. John will work with Dan to design his dream. And then we'll start working on the business side of his practice. We're going to work on the business side of his practice throughout the entire construction. So, I mean, I hope it's only a few months, but we're at the mercy of a lot of people, a lot of contractors, subcontractors, you know, people in the city, you know, inspectors. We're at the mercy of a lot of people. So we hope that it's just a few months, but, during this time, we're going to work on things like leadership. I think you can tell from his personality, he's already going to be an amazing leader. And I think that, you know, people are going to be lined up to work with him. that one will be easy. So leadership, we're going to talk about hiring, going through the process. What does that process look like? We talk about, you know, managing teams and communication and meetings. We're going to develop a marketing plan for him. So obviously, Shane, you're an integral part of that. But we also, you know, we design his internal marketing, that creating that amazing patient experience, because everything about what happens in his office and during that appointment is marketing. So, you know, we'll help him customize that amazing patient experience, his protocols, his financial policies, phone policies. Most exciting part that, you know, I know Dan is really looking forward to how to deal with insurance companies. So we're going to come up with a custom plan for him working with insurance companies. So to prepare him for opening his doors, he will be completely prepared to open his doors and confident. Like, that's the most important part. It's, you know, he's going to be confident. We're going to develop it, and then we're going to practice it. So his first patients will have not that the little kids would know anyway, but the parents, the parents will have no idea that they're, you know, your first patients, because you're going to be so polished and practiced and, you know, professional, because everything's going to be done. And that's where the confidence comes in. So we're about to embark on this crazy fun journey, Dan.
Yeah, no, that's why I decided to, you know, want to work with you guys, because I want to get it done the right way the first time, and not have any regrets. And it's going to be a process of, you know, of learning and adapting even after opening, but I know it at opening day, you know, we're going to hit the ground running. So yeah.
And so to circle around to that, because that was a great overview of kind of what that he could be prepared for, but you know, we talked about at the beginning of the episode, Dan, you know, you're having the kind of the different uncertainties and things. So when you then were able to see that roadmap that was laid out for you, as far as the help that you're going to get, the guidance you're going to get at each different stage, did that help with kind of the uncertainty, the anxiousness that comes along with doing something you've never done before?
Yeah. So Ideal Practices has this thing called the 13 stages of, you know, building a startup. And, you know, we're going to probably, you know, touch on each of one of those steps in a lot of our episodes. But when you first look at it and you see all these, different steps and all these different colors, and, you know, it's a beautifully color-coded form, and you think, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm going to be doing all that, some steps simultaneously. But you kind of take a step back and you look at it and you realize okay, this is not, all at once. There's going to be, first the vision and then the demographics, and then you're going to be, looking into real estate. And, each step along the way, Ideal has a specialist in each aspect of the startup. So, at each step, you're working with someone who does tons of these, day in and day out. So they have systems, but also they manage to customize it to each, client. So, I know I'm not being put into a cookie cutter, system. So, yeah.
And when you had mentioned that you kind of filled out, your initial kind of like the vision for the practice and how you had put family time and, all of these are kind of motivating factors. Maybe let me ask you this, Stacy, is that something that, every practice owner should be doing, is at the end of the day, kind of listing out, like, why is it that you're doing this? And I guess how helpful have you seen that exercise be? Because it's not just some pie in the sky thing. It's like you legitimately need to build something around whatever your end goal is. Am I right?
You're exactly right. So, one of the exercises that we bring them through is, thinking about, their legacy. How do they want to be remembered? They have them think about their core values, and we actually have them come up with a, what would their perfect review look like? That's something that you can build a vision around. Instead of, just the, kind of this, well, I want to practice dentistry with, in a friendly environment and technology driven, optimal oral hygiene. You can really build an office around and build a business around. So not just an office, but in the actual business around your actual goal. Once you have your core values in mind and you know what the end goal is, now that can help you make really good decisions, because now, every decision that you make, does that align with my core values? Does that align with my vision? So you have to imagine that end goal before you begin. Otherwise, I think you go back to, the suffering from analysis paralysis. Which direction should I go? Is this a good business decision to be open Saturdays? Well, for Dan, it doesn't matter if it's a good business decision, because it's not part of his goal. It's not part of his vision. He wants to spend time with his family. And that's what this is. That's what this is really about, is achieving your dreams, not just owning a dental practice. So it's really important for you to get clear, really clear on those kinds of things before you even begin.
Dan, what was that like filling out that kind of initial vision? And, I would love to hear, you talk a little bit about that. Was that kind of an energizing thing? Was it a scary thing? Was it a little bit of both? And then Stacy, maybe, as Dan's talking about that, I'd love to hear kind of your thoughts on how you kind of help guide them and reassure them through that. But Dan, what was that like, just kind of filling that out and getting that initial vision down?
Yeah, so it was an evolving thing. I had, for many months leading up to it, even going forward with Ideal, knowing that I wanted to, do a startup, I started all of a sudden looking at, things a different way, going through them all. I saw, different businesses, saw their logos, how it looked inside, how bright it was, and, what everything looked like through the windows. And I started kind of compiling like a whole little, Pinterest board of what I want my practice to feel like. So when it came time to actually doing the vision, I was able to kind of like distill all these different thoughts into writing. When I first did the vision statement, it was just a page to begin with, and it was very business oriented. I want to have a successful practice and a good team and, yada, 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 and promote oral health. All things I do want to do. But then I took a step back and I said, this can't just be it. And I started thinking about my actual values and priorities. And that's, you know, enjoying family, you know, traveling, seeing friends, all the good stuff that life has to offer. And I said, well, I have to weave this into the vision statement, because if I don't, I'm going to burn out within 5 years of practice. And so I went ahead and I, you know, mixed that all up. And, you know, eventually it became, even though it's a vision statement for a dental office, it became less about dentistry and more about my path of life. And not to get all like sappy and, you know, yeah, philosophical, but it really is, it really was like a, you know, planning a roadmap for the next, you know, 30 years of my career and so on. One of the things that Ideal speaks about when they're kind of advising you before you write your vision statement is plan, you know, with the end in mind, and then you work your way backwards. So that really helped, you know, formulate all that.
And so what's the power behind that planning with the end in mind, Stacy? Why do you all, you know, really, you know, push that there from just the very beginning before the process really even takes off?
Yeah, well, success looks different to everybody. You know, what success for one person, you know, is, you know, I want to own 10 offices and I want to work like crazy and I run around like with roller skates on and see 10 patients, you know, at one time. You know, that could be somebody's version of success, and someone else's success may be, you know, I want a work-life balance and, you know, to spend time with my family, and, you know, I want my team members to be like family, and I want, you know, my patients to, you know, not just, you know, not just have good oral health care, but also to, you know, perhaps be inspired by me and my team. And, you know, so it, because it looks different to everyone, you know, and you have to dig deep sometimes. And sometimes people, you know, get really personal, because sometimes it's almost like writing your eulogy, you know, like, what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be remembered by, you know, when's dentistry is over for you? Like, what do you want to be remembered as? How do you want your career to be looked at by other people? Or, you know, what kind of role model do you want to be to your kids? Like, it's deeply personal. And again, sometimes, you know, you can be a little bit like morbid, almost like you're writing your eulogy, but it's really important to kind of, to get clear on that in order to have like a true vision of, you know, what you want your practice to be like. And that review that we have them write, I mean, that gives us all an idea of, you know, how your every patient needs to feel when they leave your office, because every little thing that happens in that appointment has an effect on the way they leave, you know, the way they feel when they leave. And so, you know, it's important to be clear on that. It's important to, you know, make sure that your team members are clear on that. It's important for you to be clear on that. So, you know, again, it can be deeply personal, but it's important to, you know, it's important to know what you want in the end so that you can build up to get there.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm just thinking like through if I were going through that, you know, how long would that take me to be like, I'd have to really sit down and think about, you know, was it a tough process?
Yeah. So I said it started as one page and it ended up being 10 pages. And yeah, it was, but it got easier as I, you know, dived into, you know, the personal stuff. You know, the whole thing about, you know, we talk about what do we want to be remembered by after our dental career is over and we move into the next phase of our life. And again, I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression. I love dentistry. It is so fun for me, and I love my profession. But I want to be remembered as a great dad and a great husband and a great member of my community and someone who, you know, just was there to help you out when, you know, when you need a lending hand. And dentistry is a part of that, but it doesn't define my entire existence as well. So, you know, yeah, the balance is the key thing there.
Yeah. Sometimes we feel a little bit like the keeper of your dream, the keeper of your vision. You know, as we're going through this process, a lot of doctors will get to the point where they're making business decisions with their business side of their brain. And that's when, like I brought up Saturday, it's like they'll start to think, well, maybe I should work Saturdays and maybe I should be open nights. And, you know, and we'll say, I don't recall that being part of your vision. I don't recall that being part of your dream. So, you know, we feel a little bit sometimes like we're the dream keepers. We want to help you make good business decisions too. You know, if someone said, yeah, my dream was to work a half a day a week. Well, you know, that, you know, we're not going to be doing you any favors saying, go ahead and live your dream. But, you know, within reason, you know, we're definitely dream keepers when it comes to, you know, making sure that they're, you know, hanging on to that goal of their legacy.
That should be on your business card. Stacy Peters, Dream Keeper.
I was going to say, that's a quote. That's a quote right there for sure. I like it. No, that's you know, something, you know, really important there that I think our listeners can take away too, is everybody's, you know, vision for what they want is different. And I think there's a lot of pressure sometimes in dentistry to just produce. And if you're going to be a practice owner, you know, grow, expansion, you know, and that's fine for some people. Like that is if that's what your mission and, you know, what you want to do is great. But there's, I think, a lot of people out there who don't get started because they're more like you, Dan, and myself too, like more like family oriented and more, you know, am I going to be able to have a successful business, but still be the best father, the best husband, you know, the best son, daughter, whatever the case is. And I just think that's a really a important thing that you shared there, to know that you can be those things and design a practice around the person that you want to be. And I think that that's the main takeaway for everybody listening here. And they're all going to get to see that as it's, you know, being built from the ground up. So as we're kind of moving through here into kind of the summary of this episode, which is, this has just been so much fun. This has been so cool. And I just, you know, we're only at two episodes into it. I'm just like so stoked for all this, you know, that we're going to see kind of unfold here. But so now we've signed the lease. We talked about that. We've signed the lease on the location of the practice. Stacy, what's kind of his next step in this process, and what will really be kind of your maybe homework for him moving forward here over the next, you know, few weeks or month or so?
Yeah, so he's chosen his contractor. That was the next step. His floor plan design will be, you know, the immediate next step. And then after that, we're going to start working on his business and all of the topics that I had mentioned. We break it down. We don't just, you know, throw it to our clients all at one time. So we break it down into 10 steps, really. So we'll space those steps out, you know, based on, you know, the timeline of his construction. But the first step is going to be leadership, because leadership is, you know, it's not a one and done kind of thing. We can't just meet for an hour and talk about leadership and bam, you're a leader. You know, it requires thought. And so, you know, we start with leadership. You know, a lot of associates, a lot of people that have never, you know, owned a practice, they don't have a lot of experience with leadership, and they may not even know what kind of leader they want to be. Or, you know, maybe they haven't had great mentors. So, you know, we kind of dig deep and, you know, figure out, you know, what kind of leader the doctor wants to be and, you know, what steps they need to take to get there. And then, so that's going to be like in his immediate future, that's going to be our first step. And then we start planning for the future. We start planning for hiring, and then we move into creating all of his systems and protocols. So immediately it's digging deep.
Yeah, so it's, you know, this is going to be fun for you, I'm sure, Dan, kind of getting into some of this. And now is this we'll tell you what, don't let me jump ahead of myself. We'll get into that into the next episode, because, you know, here I am. I'm trying to break down several months worth of material into 30 minutes here. So I'll save that for the next. But on the next episode, I'm excited to kind of dive into, you know, the kind of the floor plan, kind of finding the contractor. You know, I know that that is an entirely foreign concept to everybody who has not been there, done that before. So I'm really looking forward to diving into that side. And what are some of the things that you look for, and how do you know whether or not they can execute on the vision that you're looking to build into the practice? And so that will be, I think, a really insightful episode. And there's somebody on the team there, Stacey, that kind of helps specifically in that area you mentioned, right? Awesome. So we'll be sure to see if we can get their expertise involved in this. And then one other thing, Dan, that I would love to do, if maybe she's open to it, and she'd probably kill us for bringing this up live on the episode, but I'd love to get, you know, your wife, on an episode too, and kind of, I know this has been such a, it's a partnership, at the end of the day, it's an absolute partnership. And so would certainly, I think, be a fun for to hear that. And I know that our listeners, many of them have spouses and partners who, are going to be playing a big role in, committing to future, practice ownership too. And would love to hear a little bit of that from her perspective and her side of things as well. So maybe you, pitch that to her and see if she'll do it.
Yeah. I think it's like having a supportive spouse is like the number one thing keeping me sane during this process. And she has been like incredible. I swear there is not a gun to my head right now outside of the screen. I mean that genuinely. She has been so supportive, and she's brought her own intelligence and her own expertise into this. And she herself is putting a mark on this whole process, which it would not be the same without her. So yeah. I think she would love that.
Perfect. So we're going to get, you heard it here, folks. You heard it here, right? We're going to have, the kind of the other side of this, and have Dan's spouse on an episode here coming up too, so you can hear that side of it. But this was great. I know that everybody listening, really, especially what we were talking about just kind of getting started, the analysis paralysis, the imposter syndrome, it's normal. If you're hearing this, those are normal things to go through. Maybe you should be worried if you don't have any of those things, right? So it's totally a normal process. And now our next episode, we're going to dive really into the location and the things that kind of go into starting the foundation, building it from the ground up. And of course, we'll be bringing Stacey along on the journey throughout this whole process. She's the quarterback, the play caller, if you will, for yeah. Dan, as he's kind of running the routes. I'm in football mode, as you could tell. We're recording this around the holidays time, so I'm in full football mode. So Stacey, thank you for joining us on here. We'll have you, of course, bring you into future ones. Dan, as always, thank you for everything and being so transparent, open with us. I know the audience is loving it. And stay tuned, everybody, for the next episode, where we'll be diving right into kind of building this thing from the ground up, literally. And be sure, again, subscribe to the Dental Practice Lounge podcast. Be sure to like our video on YouTube. Send us any questions that you have that you want answered in a future episode. And we will catch you on the next one.